Series Getting Closer to God, Insights from the Life of Moses. I started this at the end of February and brought 9 messages through the end of May. And then we took a break for the summer and I said I'll return in the fall. Well, it took a little longer to return than what I thought it was going to take. And so for the next few Sundays, we're going to again be looking at this series, Getting Closer to God, Insights from the Life of Moses. You know, there are nearly 900 references to Moses in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Without question, he was an incredible man of God. And there is much that we can learn from his life about getting closer to God. In Psalm chapter 103, verse 7, David writes, He, or God, made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. Do you note the distinction there? To Moses, He made known His ways, but to the children of Israel, simply His deeds. I think such a distinction could be made today, even in the Lord's church. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24, 25, and 26, this great a chapter of faith, we find Moses there. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. In other words, Moses said no to everything the average person would have said yes to. That's what set Moses apart. My last message in this series was on Memorial Day weekend when I spoke on winning battles from the 17th chapter of Exodus. I've titled my message this morning, You Need a Jethro. If you're a part of our leadership team, you may recognize just how timely this message is because this is resuming this particular series and it's something that God has been speaking to us as a leadership team. Well, last Sunday I referred to the Beverly Hillbillies, so I want to make a very clear distinction here. I'm not talking about this Jethro. This is not the one. I like this Jethro. This Jethro makes me laugh, but this is not the Jethro that I'm going to be focusing on today. I invite you to join me in taking a look at the Jethro of Exodus chapter 18, the father-in-law of Moses. I believe that there is a message here for you, for me, and for us as a church that has the potential to be transformational. Again, I believe God's going to speak to you. I believe God's going to speak to me today. And I believe that God is going to speak to the church today. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 18. This entire chapter really tells a story, but I'm going to sort of refer back to the first 12 verses, but I want to read for you beginning with verse 13. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? The 18th chapter of Exodus, Jethro visits Moses. Verse 13, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law, by the way, his father-in-law had just arrived, they had been separated for some time. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as a judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered him, Because the people come to me to seek God's counsel. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. That sounds good, doesn't it? But look at verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied, What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you for the simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Verse 24, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word, and you may be seated. I want to set the context for you here. Moses had already led the children of Israel out of 400 years of Egyptian bondage. The burning bush, his call, Pharaoh's hard heart, the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the first incident of water from the rock, and the battle with the Amalekites, all of that is behind them. The Israelites are camped at this point near the mountain of God, or Sinai, and soon Moses is going to ascend the mountain and receive the 10 commandments and the law. It seems that Moses' wife, Zipporah, and their sons had been sent away by Moses and had been living with her father. In Exodus chapter 18, we have the story of the very happy reunion. But more than that, Moses' encounter with his father-in-law, Jethro, here literally changed his life. It may have saved his life, and it set a directional arrow for everything that God was going to do for his people. Listen, no one is exempt from needing a Jethro. It will probably not be one person. However, it will be just a few people that God will use to influence and impact and speak into your life. You are cheating yourself and circumventing reaching your divine potential if you don't have a Jethro. You need a Jethro in your life. In this message, I want to look at three characteristics of a Jethro. Of course, we're going to look at Moses' father-in-law. We're going to look at how he spoke into his life. But I want you to understand that you need a Jethro. And here are some characteristics of the kind of person that God can use to speak into your life. The first characteristic is this. Jethros see what you don't. A Jethro sees what you don't. We see this in verses 13 through 16. Following a wonderful time of reunion with his wife, sons, and father-in-law, culminating, we know, in sacrifices being offered to God that we see in the first 12 verses of chapter 18. There is a celebration meal that takes place. Aaron and all the elders of Israel were there, and it says that they were enjoying the presence of God. When we come together as a people of God, that's something that we're to do. We're to come together and just enjoy being in the presence of God. Look at verse 13, the first three words, the next day. The next day. For whatever reason, those three words just jumped out at me. No matter how wonderful the service, how marvelous the sense of God's presence, or how sweet the fellowship with a small group, guess what? There always comes the next day. You have to live out Sunday on Monday. You have to live out your small group experience all alone or surrounded by people who don't know the Lord at school, at work, and sometimes even at home. As important as Sunday is, and it really is, it's the next day of our lives where the rubber meets the road, where we live for Christ and we touch people for Him. Jethro, who had heard all that the Lord had done for Moses and the children of Israel, all the signs and the wonders, it said that he rejoiced. They offered sacrifices to God. Verse 9, it says, Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. But again, it's the next day. And on the next day, Jethro is deeply troubled. He watched Moses all day long. There were throngs of people surrounding him. There were long lines. And he just sat back and he watched what was taking place in Moses' life. He was seeing what Moses could not or would not see. You see, he loved his son-in-law and he knew him well. For 40 years, Moses had worked for Jethro in the desert of Midian. Jethro knew his son-in-law's tendencies, his strengths and his weaknesses. He knew about his work habits. But he also could see where all of this was going to end if Moses did not change. At the end of the day, Jethro, perhaps the first consultant, we see here, if you know much about what a consultant does, we see a consultant here, we see a coach here, we see a mentor here, and all of this is the father-in-law. Now, sometimes when in-laws visit, it can raise the blood pressure of the family. That wasn't the case here. That wasn't the case at all. There was a close relationship here with Jethro, and he was all of those things to Moses. And he really sort of starts out, first of all, as a life coach here. He said, he asked some questions. We see them in verse 14. Look at them with me again. What is this that you are doing for the people? What is this you are doing for the people? And then the second question he asked, why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand around from morning until evening? Now listen, when you invite a Jethro, a true Jethro into your life, they're probably going to ask you some very difficult, some very probing questions. But if they are a true Jethro, you need to know that they are doing so out of love for you. They love you. They're concerned for you. They want the best for you. A Jethro doesn't have any hidden agenda whatsoever. Listen, if more people listen to a Jethro, fewer would have to listen to a Nathan. You know, when you think of David's sin of adultery with Bathsheba, the murder, the cover-up, and everything that took place, and David just covered up his sin, and nearly a year went by, and Psalm chapter 51 and Psalm chapter 32, some believe Psalm chapter 103, all of these describe this season that David went through, and until Nathan came and told him a story, and David thought he was talking about somebody else. And he said, that person must die. And Nathan pointed his finger in David's face and said, you are the man. Listen, if we'll listen to a loving Nathan, a loving Jethro, we may not have to have a stern Nathan to enter into our lives. Jethro wanted to know why Moses was carrying the load solo. And that's what he saw. Moses was carrying the load solo. And here are some questions to ask yourself. First of all, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my time? A term I hate is spending time. I like to think of investing time. Investing time in relationships, investing times in work, investing times in ministry. If you're a business person, investing time. Don't waste time. Don't spend time, but rather invest time. But this isn't true just for a pastor or a leader or someone in business or someone who teaches school. It's true for every single person. What are you doing with your time? And then next, what are my priorities in life? What are the strengths that God has given me? I would just imagine that Moses went home absolutely exhausted every day. And Jethro was watching all this. Another question you may ask yourself, why am I doing so many things all alone? I remember my first pastorate, small town. When I went before the pulpit committee and we talked, it was a small church. And as they told me what the salary was, the first thing that came to my mind is there is no way that we can make it on that. So I ended up being a substitute teacher at the school. But even with that, they said, well, we'll pay you an extra $25 a week if you and your wife will clean the church. Well, $25 sounded like a lot right then. So we said, yeah, we'll clean the church. And we'll mow the yard. And we'll do everything. Well, it wasn't very long that I was passionate. I thought, I've got to work myself out of all of these jobs if this church is going to go anywhere. So I began to work myself out of this job and that job and the other job, and then the church began to grow. Others were blessed in what they were able to do. And Moses was just carrying the load solo. And so we should ask ourselves, why am I doing so many things alone? And then, can I shift some of the load to other people? Are there other people that I can shift some of these things to? I want you to listen to Moses' answer to Jethro's questions. We see them in verses 15 and 16. Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. All of that sounds incredibly spiritual. All of that sounds so incredibly godly. Basically, Moses was saying, the people have complaints, and I'm the complaint department. They bring all of their complaints, whether it's big, whether it's small. They bring all their complaints to me, and I am the complaint department. You know, Moses was one of the most godly men that we see in the Bible. He was a friend of God. Said God spoke to him face to face, didn't spoke to anybody else like that. When on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was there with Peter, James, and John, guess who showed up? Moses and Elijah conversed with Jesus, and Jesus was transfigured there in their presence. And another place says that Moses was the most humble man in all of the earth. Now, he did have an anger management problem. It got him in trouble. We won't go there, but he was a tremendous man of God. But listen, Moses had a huge blind spot. A huge blind spot. And all of us have blind spots. We all do. Now, we don't see those blind spots. If you say, you know, Pastor, I don't have any blind spot. Yes, you do. You have a blind spot because you don't think you got a blind spot. And that's the worst kind of blind spot to have. So Moses had this huge blind spot, and God brought his father-in-law from a distant land to be able to speak into his life. Moses didn't realize, but in working all alone, he was robbing others of an opportunity to serve the Lord. Let me ask you, do you have a Jethro in your life? You need someone in your life who can speak to you. Who in the last few months or who in the last year have you given access who can speak into your life like a Jethro? Do you have anyone in your life who can say to you, speak to you about what you're doing and some things that you're doing are not good? And that brings us really to the second point here. A Jethro says what others won't. A Jethro sees what others don't see. But a Jethro will say what others don't. The reason that most people don't want a Jethro is found in verse 17. Look at it there with me again. It all sounds so good, it all sounds so noble, having a wise and godly person to speak into your life until they say something really hard to you, something that really may hurt or cut to the core. Look at verse 17. Here's the reason most people don't have a Jethro in their life. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Ever had someone tell you that besides your mom and dad? When's the last time you gave someone the kind of access to look into your life and saying, what you are doing is not good? Is there someone who can say that to you and get away with it? If you desire a Jethro, you must give them permission to enter your life and give them access to your life. They've got to see what's really going on, and then you must listen to what they say. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way a fool seems right to them, but the wise, they listen to advice. Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. But for a moment, I want us to focus on verse 18. Would you look at it with me again? Verse 18, you and these people, this is Jethro speaking, you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Now that word translated here in the NIV, wear yourselves out, means literally to be withered with exhaustion. To be withered with exhaustion. Or to drop down, languish, wither, and fall. Jethro saw what Moses didn't. That his son-in-law was headed for a burnout, a breakdown, a meltdown. We've got all these downs that we use to describe this. But Jethro saw that he was heading just for that. You know, this chapter always convicts me. Every time I read it devotionally, every time I read it as I systematically study through the Word of God, every time I preach to it, God always speaks to me from this particular passage of Scripture in a new and in a very fresh and in a very direct way. But I want you to understand that this chapter is not just about ministry. This chapter is not just about leadership or business. This chapter is about life. As a young mom, you need a Jethro speaking into your life. As a college student, you need a Jethro speaking into your life. You say, "Well, hey, I'm retired. I'm done with my career." You still need a Jethro speaking into your life. A Jethro will enrich you. A Jethro will help you. A Jethro will make you become more than all that you could be without one. And what happens when a person does too much, works too many hours, and stays at it too many days a week? To begin with, he loses his distinction. You know, we are gifted in particular areas. When we try to add additional elements to our basic makeup, it weakens our best effort. Energy gets drained. We lose direction. We need to, in other words, we need to play to our strengths. That doesn't mean that we can't do anything outside of our strengths, but we need to play to what our strengths are. One of the greatest challenges, says Henry Blackaby, one of the greatest challenges of the Christian life is determining what God does not want you to do. The greatest challenges. What God does not want you to do. It took me a while. It took me really a long while in ministry to realize that every open door of opportunity, I should not walk through. It took me a while to come to a place that I realized that my answer to every request should not be yes. I remember accepting a committee assignment. I'm not going to say for what organization, but because of the nature of the organization that I was in, it wasn't something where they had to have a clergyman, they had to have an attorney, they had to have all these professions. So that's how I came on the, they'd look at me and say, "Oh, what wonderful gifts, we've got to have his input, we've got to have a clergyman," you know. And what I've discovered is when it comes to weddings and everything else, Assembly of God's the first category in the Yellow Pages. Now, I don't think many people look at the Yellow Pages a whole lot anymore, but oftentimes, so we would get the first, I would get the first call. And I had to come to a place where I recognized I could not say yes to everything. I could not walk through every single open door. Remember, when it comes to a Jethro, wounds from a friend can be trusted. But an enemy multiplies kisses. I heard it very early in ministry. Those who flatter you will slander you. I've never forgotten those words. You need a Jethro. A Jethro sees what you don't, and a Jethro will say what others won't. But there's a third characteristic of a Jethro, and that is this: a Jethro's solutions work. A Jethro's solutions work. We see it in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, through verse 27. You see, Moses needed help. He was not making a distinction between major matters and minor problems. And he was getting himself immersed. Here is this teacher, and Jethro made it very clear, "Hey, you're a teacher. You're a teacher." And he was allowing himself to get bogged down in all kinds of minor problems. Now, before we look at Jethro's counsel, I want you to first look at verse 23. And it's very important here. Jethro didn't just come and make this pronouncement. He wanted Moses to seek God about the matter. Look at verse 23. If you do this, and God so commands. I'm pretty uncomfortable with the term, "thus saith the Lord," other than reading it in Scripture. I think we have to be very careful about that when we're receiving a word, giving someone a word, or when we're giving a prophetic word in God's house, to use the term, "thus saith the Lord." Just give the word. If it's of God, it's going to resonate. If it's in line with Scripture, we don't always have to use that term, "thus saith the Lord." And when someone comes, and when a Jethro comes and speaks into your life, they don't have to say, "thus saith the Lord." That's not at all what Jethro did. He laid out the plan, and then he said, "If you do this, and God so commands." So this is, yes, I'm giving you counsel. Oftentimes when I feel directed to give a personal word, I don't have that very often, but occasionally I do, I will say, "Test this in prayer. Test this in prayer." And so that's exactly what Jethro was doing and encouraging Moses to do. The word of man needs to be tested in prayer because, listen, not everyone who speaks into your life is a Jethro. Matter of fact, I would say, be very cautious. Be very cautious about a Jethro. Be very cautious about someone who wants, desires to be a Jethro. Occasionally I'll tell someone when we've had younger people called to the ministry, will you mentor me? And I will say, no, I can't. I can't mentor you, but you can be mentored by me. You can be mentored by me. I can't mentor you, but you can be mentored by me. Be careful of a Jethro who comes into your life and suddenly wants to... just a couple things about a Jethro. A Jethro doesn't just come in to criticize. I've had the experience, not very often. I always like to talk about someplace else. Being here 25 years, it's hard to talk about someplace else because my memory doesn't serve me real well on the someplace else's. And but occasionally you got someone who is just a critic. They can tell you what is wrong. This is what is wrong. They are very long on diagnosis and very short on cure. You know, if you go to the doctor, you don't go to the doctor for him just to tell you what's wrong and send you out the door. You go to the doctor to say, here's what is wrong and here's how we're going to fix it. This is what you need to take. This is what you need to do in order to fix the problem. A Jethro is not long on diagnosis, on short on cure. A Jethro is not a person who can just criticize you or criticize what you're doing. That's not a Jethro at all. Verse 19 opens with the word, listen. You don't listen with your mouth, you listen with your ears. Are you a good listener? I recently had a Jethro speaking into my life, and I so wanted to talk, and the Lord spoke to me and said, don't say a word. Listen. And sometimes that's where we need to be. We don't need to speak, we just need to listen. See, when you talk, you repeat what you already know. You repeat what you already know. Dr. Mark Hosfeld was with us about a month ago, ministry to Muslims. You may have attended the Saturday seminar on ministering to Muslims. It was just a tremendous weekend. Dr. Hosfeld is super, super smart. Been president of the seminary, just one of the smartest people I've ever met. But we were out for lunch. We were having barbecue, and somehow presidential stuff came up. And I thought, aha. This is one where I bet I know more about presidential history than he does after all these books I've read and all the studies I've done and everything else. So with the open door, I thought this guy's smarter than me in so many areas, I think I'll step through that door and just begin a discussion. Only to discover, he knew a whole lot more about presidents than I did. He even knew the birthplaces by state of every single president. I would struggle, I could tell you most, but I would struggle somehow to do all of that. And again, sometimes we just need to listen. When we talk, we repeat what we already know. When you listen, you often learn something. You learn something new. There's a lot in these verses that I will not have time to unpack. Verse 19, Jethro said to Moses, you must be. As I studied this passage and prepared this message this past week, all these phrases just jumped out at me. You must be. You see in the last half of verse 19. Do you know what you must be? Do you know what only you can be? Do you know what it is that only you can do? Only Moses could represent the people before God, and Jethro reminded him of this fact. This was under the old covenant, not the new covenant. Today we can all go boldly into the presence of God and find mercy and help and all of that in our time and day. We have access. You don't have to come to Faith Assembly. Yes, we're to come together. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's things that should happen when we come together. However, you're not restricted in any way to go into God's presence. But at that time, Moses had to represent the people before God. Only he could do that. So he said, you must be this. And then two key phrases in verse 20, teach them and show them. In other words, Jethro was saying, Moses, you have a teaching ministry. You know, I believe in Christian counseling. I believe the counselors with a biblical worldview are gifts to the church. However, in a very real sense, counseling occurs when God's Word is taught. When God's Word is taught. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and active. When a preacher, a teacher, a small group leader, a teacher for children, when they open the Word of God, people receive counsel from God. And Jethro was saying, don't spend so much time listening to all of these disputes. There's other people that can do that. You can train them, you can equip them, you can release them. And is it not interesting? The elders were already in place. Because in the first 12 verses, they joined with Moses in welcoming Jethro. The elders were already in place. They just weren't doing the job. They just weren't doing their job to the extent that they could possibly do. Now, there's elders here this morning. I think all of them, please don't take this. I'm not chastising elders. I would never do that directly, indirectly, or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. But what the truth was, these individuals were already available to Moses, and Jethro didn't say, it's their fault. All the fingers were pointed to Moses. You're doing everything. You're not organizing them, you're not equipping them, you're not releasing them, and you need to organize them so that you can focus upon what God has called you to do. Jethro is very specific in regards to show them the way, how to behave. The specific plan for Moses really unfolds in verse 21. We often fail not because we have not been moved, because we have not been stirred, or we have not been challenged. Oftentimes we fail simply because we don't have a plan. And we don't execute that plan. And of course, the real challenge is in executing the plan. Now, you can read about the plan later. It's not difficult. It's not complex. It was simple. It was doable. And Moses did it immediately. But Jethro even shares what the results will be. He looks down the road and he said, this is what is going to result if you do what I speak into your life. Verse 22, he said, there is going to be a lighter load. A lighter load. Are you carrying an extremely heavy load right now? Personally, in marriage, in family, at your job? Could there be something here that would help you to carry a lighter load? Is there something that you might be able to share with family? Is there something that perhaps you need to take a step back? You know, there's some things that we need to, that only we can do. We just need to dedicate those things to God. That's what only Moses, Jethro said. This is the only you can represent God before the people. Only you can do that. So Moses needed to recognize, okay, that's my number one responsibility. I am to represent God before the people. So when it's only what you can do, you need to dedicate that to God, consecrate that to God. And then there are things that other people can do. Look around you. And that is called delegate. So there's consecrate, and then there is delegate. And then there are some things, probably in your life and my life, that we need to stop doing altogether. Maybe there's someone you need to stop enabling. maybe there is someone that they're not going to grow up until you back off a little bit. Maybe there is someone who you're sort of doing their job for them because they're not doing, and sometimes you just need to stop doing that. So there is those things that we dedicate, those things that we consecrate, and there's also those things that we just need to eliminate in our lives. And I believe only the Lord and only a Jethro can help you determine what those things are. And when that happens, there is going to be a lighter load because a shared load is a lighter load. Verse 23, look at it. Directed towards Moses, you will be able to stand the strain. Jethro was looking down the road. He was looking a few months, a few years down the road. What was yet ahead for him? And he said, if you don't change, you're not going to be able to stand the strain. And then also in verse 23, he speaks towards the Israelites, and all these people will go home satisfied. Now, as I think of that, the Scripture is silent. I believe in being silent where the Bible is silent and speaking where the Bible speaks. But if I could just sort of read in here just a little bit, I just believe there's a lot of people going home not satisfied at all. I mean, because you can only deal with so many cases, you can only see so many people till you're absolutely, absolutely wore out. Now, a word to the church. This is a word to you. If faith is your church, your home church, I just have a word here. I'm not going to be long on that. To become the church that God wants us to be, our model of ministry, our methods must change. Our world is changing. If we're to be effective in reaching others for Christ. Now, let me tell you something that never changes. Our message. Our message must not change. Our values must not change. We should be people driven by the Great Commission, but our model and our methods of ministry, the way that we do ministry, the way that we reach out, must change. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints." Did you hear that? To equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Self-defeating organizations embalm their structure and refuse to change. The ministries that God blesses are open to change as long as the principles of God's Word are obeyed. In our lives and in the church, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to discern between the essential and the additional. The essential and the additional. The essential is that which only you can do. The essential is that which only the church can do. Did you know anybody can put on a soup supper? Anybody, any organization. A group of atheists can put together a soup supper. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against soup suppers. I like soup. I like soup. So don't say pastors preaching at soup suppers. That's not what I'm saying. But there is the essential, there is that which only we can do, that which only we can accomplish. And I want you to think of the church as a whole. How much are we adding on at times? How much is the additional? We need to discern somehow between that which is essential, this is what only we can do, this is what only we should be, and then what is the additional. Our text today is the classic chapter on delegation. We learn from the story of Moses and Jethro that efficiency increases as we relinquish. We tend to think that somehow it's going to decrease, but efficiency has a way of increasing as we relinquish, as we begin more focused upon what God's called us to do. Sometimes we're trying to do too much, we're trying to do too many things, and sometimes we just need to focus upon what God has called us to do, what God has gifted us to do. Moses' response to his encounter with Jethro was found in verse 24. It says, Moses listened to his father-in-law. Did you note that? Moses listened to his father-in-law. Matter of fact, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. By hearing. It doesn't say faith cometh by seeing. We live in a culture that think faith comes by seeing, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. You see, it's not just enough to welcome a Jethro. It's not just enough to listen to a God-sent Jethro. You must heed what they say, and Moses did. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but verses 25 to 27 attest to the fact that what Moses did, he did it immediately. He did it immediately. You know, if you're overwhelmed by all that you are doing, you're probably doing more than God's asked you to do, or not doing it according to God's plan. Church, if we feel overwhelmed and stressed out, it's very likely that we're probably doing more than what God's called us to do, or we're doing some things He's not called us to do at all. My closing challenge to you today is you need a Jethro. Young, old, professional, blue-collar, student, it doesn't make any difference. You need a Jethro speaking into your life. And when a Jethro shows up, listen. Listen to them. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Lord, I just ask that you would speak to first us as a church, and then, Lord, to us as your people, that you would speak to individuals today, because as I was preparing this message this past week, I had a sense that this was not just a message to the church as such. It is. But, Lord, that it was going to be a message to people. It was going to touch some places that even in my thinking, that it would not touch, because your word is living and active, and your word can take, and your spirit who inspired the word can take the word and apply it to our lives and to our situations and to our relationships and to where we work and to the type of ministry that we may be involved in. If you just keep your heads bowed for just a moment, your eyes closed. I felt directed at this scripture really almost the last minute. And it really sort of builds on what Jethro said. What Jethro said. He talked about being wore out. To Moses, he talked about being burned out. He talked about people not being satisfied. But perhaps this is a word just directly to you today. I love these words of Jesus. I would consider it one of the great invitations of Jesus. When I begin to read it, some of you will recognize it. Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, it's light. I shared some great words from Jethro, but those are from Jesus. That's his invitation. How would God want you to respond to his word to your heart this morning? How do we need to respond as the people of God today? I'm going to ask that we pray a very simple prayer in just a moment. I close Sunday services with this prayer. Before we respond further, I want us to pray, because there could be someone here today who has yet to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're weary, they're burdened. Matter of fact, David said at one point in the Psalms, he said, I was overwhelmed by my sin. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you have yet to take that step to receive his forgiveness, to come to him. So I want us to pray together. Would you stand with me, please, and would you pray with me? And if you have not yet established a personal relationship with Christ, I'm going to ask that you would join in with me in prayer. Would you please, Lord, I here and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place and paying my sin debt in full. I ask for your forgiveness. I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. God's word says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You prayed that prayer for the first time today. You see on the screen a booklet. It's available at the Welcome Center in the main hallway. It'll be available here at the altar. If you come forward for prayer, please pick it up. And there's also a connect card in your bulletin. Would you fill that out and let us know if you gave your heart to the Lord today? Now, as we respond to God's word this morning, I think there are so many different responses that there could be on a personal level, on a collective level, relationships in so many different areas. I just want, as Jer and the team lead us, that however God has spoken to you, that you would just present that to the Lord this morning, that the Holy Spirit has quickened something to your heart. Maybe there's some things that you need to come back to that which only you can do, and you need to consecrate that to the Lord, and you need to get more focus there. Maybe there are some things that need to be shared with others, and you need to